intense focus on the church is the passion of our Lord, the sufferings of our Lord, which lead him directly to the cross. Viewing such suffering, the mockers are free to say, "Look at him and see how weak and broken and frail he is." So much for that Messiah complex of his, so much for the false claims of his. If he is truly God's son, why does God not save him? He does not because he is not. But Christ is God's son. And God does send him forth precisely for this time, precisely for this passion, this suffering, this death. It is right in the passion of our Lord that God's vindication shines through. The immediate cause of this disdain for Christ recorded in our text is his claim, "I am the light of the world." Now we have him condemned. His light has gone out. People are able to say, "Now that we have him crucified, he's dead. What light of the world? Where is his vindication now?" It is in these very things, in this very passion, that Jesus shows himself forth as the light of the world. Not in the pretty stories about sheep purring like kittens around his feet, but in the ugly, very ugly story of the Lamb of God slain for the sins of the world. The light of God is not in glorious miracles and dazzling appearances, but in the darkest of moments, in the glory when the Son of God is led to the cross and allows himself to be crucified for sinners. There, looking back through the eyes of God's verdict, there we see light shining forth. There God himself is vindicated, for his justice has been satisfied, and his holiness is kept right. The Father honors the Son by the passion, by the mocking, by the abuse, by the crown of thorns, by the many lashes, by the many crucifixion. For in this passion, this suffering, this death, God the Father shows himself both loving and holy and just and faithful. But back to our own kind of vindication. We want to point to circumstances and say, under the circumstances, you've got to decide that I'm right and they're wrong. You point to the law of God and say, under the law, well, I'm not perfect. I'm certainly better than most. I'm okay, especially when compared with others. You point to their behavior and you say, compared to that person, I'm okay. There, I've done it. I've vindicated myself. But you don't really believe that, and neither do most of the people around you. Deep down in your throat, well, you would be able to drop the vindication a bit, but we can't. We don't. You know, it has often been said that preachers should preach the sermon first to themselves. Well, I had that experience this week. I was able to preach this sermon to myself, and I discovered that, just like the man in the text, I'm quite willing to vindicate myself too. See, if this would have happened that way, then you would have seen how right it is. But that's not it. That's not what God thinks. That's not what this Sunday in the church and the life in the church teaches us. It teaches us, rather, that there is a need for a real now vindication. And that vindication is not found in our excuses, our examples, our vindication, but it is found in the vindication of God the Father, who poured out your sin upon his Son. So if you want real vindication, there's only one place to find it, and that is in Christ. Christ's vindication is not here to show you what you can't have as some superior model of which you will never be, nor is it riches in Christ. If I don't keep telling myself that I'm okay, well, it just gets rather depressing. And that truly is your problem, and I've found it to be mine as well. In that vindication, in Christ's vindication, your problems truly go away. And the reason is simple. You cannot vindicate yourself. You cannot tell yourself that you are okay because your conscience won't buy that, at least not for long and not forever. You cannot forgive yourselves even after you know that Christ has forgiven you, for the conscience will continue to accuse you. Satan will continue to attack you, and will end up pointing to something in you that should make you secure in your status as God's child. That's the reality. You cannot forgive yourself. You can say your words, but you know deep down that they are your words. And after all, how many times have you told yourself those lies in life only to have your conscience say, go on? You can fool others, but you cannot fool me. What you need, what you must have for vindication is a word of vindication which comes from outside of you. And that is why your God, in His mercy and grace, has instituted the word and the sacraments and the office of the keys, and why He has authorized that the word of forgiveness, the word of absolution, should be proclaimed and taught to His people again and again. And that is why God places His name on you in baptism. For when the called ministers of Christ deal with you by His divine command, offering and giving you the verbalized and pronounced forgiveness of sins, as Dr. Luther taught us, it is the same as if Christ, our dear Lord, was doing it Himself. So you see, dear friends, there is no need for me and no need for you to vindicate ourselves. No need, therefore, to live with the guilt that comes with self-vindication, with hard-heartedness, with faint-heartedness, and with the effects of stress and on your body and your relationships. All of that flows from the desire to vindicate yourself. But that one true, lasting vindication still remains available for you. It is God the Father's vindication coming to you through His word concerning your place in Jesus Christ. As Jesus Himself says, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. Let me paraphrase that for you. If you